welcome to another spiffing Groovement interview. I'm Agent J. Stone's Throw Records recently toured Europe with four killer acts: Peanut Butter Wolf, Dame Funk, James Pants, and new boy Mayor Hawthorne. Since the tour landed in the Deaf Institute in Manchester, I decided to use the usual Groovement persuasion techniques to try and grab an interview. It was three quarters successful. Big shout out to everyone at Stone's Throw that made it happen, but especially Alex, the tour manager. Nice one. For your pleasure, this is Groovement meets Stone's Throw. The James Pants. The track you can hear in the background is Crystal Light from the LP Welcome.
James Pants, welcome.
Welcome indeed.
Right, how are you finding the lager over here, James?
The lager? Well, tonight we had Carlsberg, which is not my favorite, but we've had a great assortment of lager the entire tour, so, you know, I'm satisfied.
There's a master filmmaker in the working, I see, on the Stone's Throw website. You've been doing the video blog.
Yeah, I'm a budding producer, director, screenwriter. It's I mainly just chase birds around all day and... I think that's about it, really, yeah.
So how have you found the past year and a half or so? Has it been a bit mad with the release of, well, all your releases? How's the response been?
You know, it's been real good. I was able to quit my day job, which I never thought would happen about a year ago. So really, you know, to me, I'm happy. I don't need any more out of life, just to not have to go in and type on a keyboard all day.
Where do you base yourself? Where's home at the moment?
I live in Spokane, Washington, which is near Seattle. It's west coast of the U.S. Kind of a smaller town, maybe like 400,000. Pretty podunk, but I love it. You know, it's really cheap to live, really good food. So that's all I ask for.
How are you handling this tour? Are you full live band for the whole tour or just DJing some dates?
We've been doing the live band every night, and we're going to do the live band every night, except for tonight. Tonight's my one DJ gig, so I'm a little excited, a little nervous about that.
And anything planned or just pulling out whatever's in the box?
I'm going to try to play every genre known to man tonight, except Eurotrance.
How would you, to the uninitiated who are listening to this out of interest in Stone's Throw, how would you describe the James Pants genre?
You know, I think that's always tough because it switches. Like, my first record that came out last year, Welcome, was... kind of all over the place, but a little, you know, kind of on the dancey tip. The one I just finished that comes out this summer is all on the psychedelic tip, so, you know, I'm just a fan of music, period, and I'm not very good at playing instruments or recording, so, you know, that kind of adds to the flavor. It's kind of a lo-fi, just a lo-fi medley of sorts of various terrible sounds.
There's a bloke telling a story downstairs about you playing The Doors, an instrumental of The Doors, and then you got up and started singing. Are we going to see any of that tonight?
You know, you might just see that. We've actually been playing Touch Me by The Doors in the live band every night, and I just got the 45 today just in case I wanted to play it tonight. So, you know,
How do you find digging while you're on tour? Is it fruitful in the past?
It's very fruitful. You know, there's a lot of records in Europe that we don't see in the States and vice versa. Strangely, though, there's a lot of American records in Europe that we never see in America, so, you know, it's been good.
Maybe
so
they didn't want them.
What was that?
Maybe they didn't want them.
Yeah, that could be it, because they're all, like, really small label. I don't think they ever succeeded in America and tried their bets over in Europe, you know.
So, take the next year or so up to the release of your next LP. Is it going to be sort of constant touring for you, or do you sort of stick around the States quite a lot doing DJ dates there? How's your lifestyle going to work over the next year or so?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm gonna try to stay busy touring. I've got a wife, and as of 3 weeks ago, I have a daughter. So
congratulations.
So, I'll have to kind of balance. You know, it's gonna be a tightrope walk. You know, to keep touring and also be at home a fair amount. So we'll see.
Just to finish off, James, how are you finding the as a sort of a vinyl junkie yourself? How are you coping with the download culture of 2009 and being an artist who releases stuff himself?
You know, you can't really fight it, and it's there's just got to be other avenues to make money as an artist other than just album sales. And you know, I don't really have a problem with downloading at all, as long as the music's good and people, you know, as long as it's not affecting your, as long as people aren't getting lazy and they're searching for stuff, I think that's only a good thing. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who discovered me by downloading it and maybe bought stuff later. So no beef there, no beef.
Okay, James Pants, thank you very much. Have a stunning DJ set tonight. I hope you really enjoy it.
Oh man, thanks so much.
Did you, what do you think of the venue?
This venue is crazy dope right now. It's might be my new favorite.
Is the disco ball big enough for you?
Yeah, there's a disco ball big enough for me to lay on top. Yeah, that's a pretty good size.
All right, look forward to it. James Pants, you know, thank you.
All right, cheers.
I know you think we can make it all work out, but I gotta tell it like it is. And I don't wanna make this any harder than it needs to be, so don't cry. Don't wanna see you.
How do you do? This is Mayor Hawthorne, and you're checking out Groovement Radio.
Okay, this is Agent J for Groovement Radio. I'm in the Deaf Institute in Manchester with Mayor Hawthorne. Mayor Hawthorne, how are you?
How do you do? It's a pleasure to be here.
How's the tour going so far? How many dates is that?
We've done, I think, we started in Paris, and then we did London and Nottingham so far, and this will be the third day.
And do you have a fleet of buses, fleet of Stone's Throw buses?
We just one bus, but it's a monster.
How have you found the past few months? Because obviously you've had the single out, the initial single, and it sold like hot, heart-shaped cakes, and then you had to repress it. It's been a bit mad for you.
It's been quite mad indeed. It's really sort of overwhelming, you know. I'm just kind of trying to catch up. You know, it's been a blessing. It's been a really wild ride so far, yeah.
And how does it feel? Do you feel like you've had to do a Clark Kent Superman thing and assume it's a completely different identity? Is your past now vanquished?
You know, I definitely, you know, I never really had, when I did the first couple of Mayor Hawthorne tracks, it was just sort of, it was really sort of a joke for my friends and family, just to get a kind of a kick out of, and I never really had any plans to even record a full album of Mayor Hawthorne material. So, you know, I've definitely had to quickly adjust and really, you know, figure out what Mayor Hawthorne even is, you know. So
it's creating something on the go.
Yeah, I mean, it truly has been like, you know, on the fly, you know, recording as much as possible and trying, you know, experimenting and trying to really zero in on what Mayor Hawthorne really is, you know.
Now, would it be fair to say that the Detroit Motown thing is a massive influence, or is it just part of lots of influences?
Oh, I think that's fair to say that it's a massive influence on me, but, you know, I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, if you, you know, checked out my iPod, I mean, you find everything from heavy metal to reggae to even pop music. You know, I grew up listening to Michael Jackson and, you know, the Beatles and everything under the sun. So, you know, it all has its place.
I was going to ask you about one of the, you got the Stone's Throw podcast together recently. Well, a while ago, I imagine, for you. But there's a track on it, and am I right in thinking you've got the Motown Story box set? It's like a 3-vinyl, a purple edition.
Yeah. It's a fantastic set for
the history of it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's you know, it does a decent job of telling the history. I mean, you know, you can never tell the whole history of Motown. It's so massive. I mean, just the amount of production that came out of Motown in the 10 years that they were really, you know, in full force. It's an unbelievable amount of music. I mean, no, it's impossible to really wrap your head around it. I mean, I've been trying. Trust me, and it's really difficult.
Just to finish off then, just tell us about the band setup that you usually have on tour.
The band that I tour with?
Yeah, the band setup, like how long would a set be? Do you do covers? Is it only old material that you're previewing?
Well, on this tour, this is primarily a DJ tour, this Stone Sour Europe tour. So we've only been doing a couple songs live with James Pants' band backing me, the Royal Zodiac. And it's been going really well, but when we, the next time we come out here, I'll have my band, The County, and we'll get a full live show, and we'll get a little deeper into the Mayor Hawthorne catalog.
And are we on the soul funk tip tonight?
I didn't put a set together for tonight, really. I'm just going to kind of wing it and see how I'm feeling.
Wicked. Mayor Hawthorne, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. It was a
pleasure. Good luck with future different shaped vinyl releases.
All right. We've got a new single at the press right now, actually, that should be available sometime in April. Maybe So, Maybe No is the new single. It's picture cover 12-inch. It should be in stores soon.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay, Dame Funk in the Deaf Institute in Manchester. How has the tour gone so far for you, Dame?
Tour's going cool. We've hit a lot of places so far: Paris, London, Nottingham, and now we're in Manchester, and it feels real good.
Give us a little bit of your background. Obviously, Alumsphere has been over visiting you, playing your Monday night in LA. So, who's looking after the homestead while you're here on a Monday night?
Yeah, Funkmosphere is a night that we have in West LA. And, it's been a lot of great guests and a lot of people, like you said, have been coming through. And it'll be 3 years in July. Ryan came through a few different cats. And, we just want to keep the world abreast at different sounds like boogie, funk, modern soul, electric funk, new sounds, and older sounds. But the whole objective with me is I like to bring new sounds, but always with a firm respect for the past and not leaving the past behind. So that's what Funkmosphere has been about.
I read an interview you did with Shook magazine about sort of the electro and modern funk scene being left behind a little bit by the emergence of hip-hop. Do you think the world has been done a bit of an injustice and hasn't been exposed to the sort of music that you're proliferating enough? Do you think there could be more of it?
Yeah, I think it could be more of it. But I think for the last couple of years, I think our job has been done. I mean, like a lot of funk is people are throwing up the funk sign out there in the audience, and people are digging for wax now. They're going back to wax again, and even new labels are pressing up wax. So the whole objective was to keep wax ideology alive. It's not an elitist thing. I know that a lot of people are in college and they can't afford expensive records or any kind of record for that matter, so foul sharing is cool. But it's like what I'm hoping with Funkmosphere, which our night is strictly wax. We like to just provide a place where DJs who actually did get their fingers dirty and get out there and dig can actually, represent what they collected over the years, you know what I mean, instead of just, foul swapping. And I don't mean to say just in quotes and parentheses. It's just that you got to still respect the cats that get out there and dig and get their fingers dirty. That'll never change.
Tell me about what metal you're listening to.
Oh, metal? Oh, yeah. Metal used to be a favorite genre of mine. I mean, now I've really been headfirst into the funk, to be honest with you. But back in the day, you could catch me, man, like in Pasadena growing up with Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast posters on my wall, Kiss gigantic posters from the Alive 2 era, all kinds of stuff. Motley Crue, even that was before they got real commercial. But, I mean, I was into a lot of British metal, too. Saxon, Venom, a lot of those.
Whitesnake?
Yeah, Whitesnake, I really wasn't doing that, but they're cool. I mean, it's just I was a little bit into more harder, you know, metal. You know what I mean? But I always look at metal and funk as always being related, and I know people are tripping, like, what does he mean? But I mean this by metal seems like it's like the bastard child of rock, and funk is like the bastard child of soul. You know what I mean? It's like it's like a cousin of their respective genres. So it's almost like we're the outlaws. The funksters are the outlaws of soul and R&B, and metalers are the outlaws of rock and pop. You know what I mean?
You see, Dave, I've tried to argue this a couple of times with people, is that you listen to some metal tracks, like some Metallica tracks, for instance, there is a groove there.
It is.
And there is a riff, man.
Most definitely, AJJ, man. Yeah, that's why we connect, and that's why I've always liked it. I mean, it's like, as time went on, though, I mean, I like all styles of music, but, you know, those are in my brain, in my veins, is funk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also argue, you think about the Atlantic record vaults, like 72 era sort of thing, and you think about something like the Isley Brothers, It's Your Thing, you've got that down. Then you listen to AC/DC, and I'd say there's a bit of a... And I'd say there's a little bit.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Something to explore, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah, AC/DC was cool. Isley Brothers, one of my favorite groups. I like later era Isley Brothers, but that's a great analogy idea that you just had by meshing those two songs. Yeah, definitely. I can see the connection.
That's how we roll on Groovement Radio.
That's right.
All right, Damien. You've got an album. Is it a baby ready yet?
Yeah, it's being mastered right now. It's called To Each His Own. It's going to be on Stone's Throw Records. It's the follow-up to Rhythm Tracks Volume 4, which is in the streets now. And before that was Burgundy City, back with Galactic Fun. And, of course, the thing that got it all started was Burn Rubber remix for Baron Zinn. And right now we do have a 12-inch before the album coming out. It's a 4-track maxi single. And it has tracks like Kill That on, I can't say the full name because it's a vulgar word, but Kill That MF, and it has Electrifying, spelled L-A-trifying, because I'm talking about my city that I come from. And also there's Let's Take Off, Far Away, more of an electro style Detroit LA connection type sound. And then to top it off is Hood Pass Intact, which is a non-album track, so it's really got the funk on that one. So that's coming out in about 2 weeks.
Have you expanded your instrumentation on that? Have you been playing new instruments?
I play bass, keys, and drums. A little bit of saxophone, but I don't incorporate saxophone in my music. You know what I mean? At this point, I like to just play synthesized, because I like the analog sound. I like synthesized music. I like electronic music. But the difference with me is that my approach to electronic music is playing it all the way live through. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't have to sound like a jam band when you play live music. You know what I mean? It can sound electric, but still play live. When I press record, I record all the way through. So when you get my album, folks, it's like you'll be able to. If my song is 9 minutes long, you're going to get me playing the music for 9 minutes long. You're not going to get me, you know, looping a segment and then just keep looping it for 9 minutes, which is much respect, because loops and sampling is fantastic. I'm just letting you guys know about my approach. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit different when it comes to electronic recording music. So, and that's where my connection with funk is. It's like I'm trying to keep the aesthetic, the groups like P-Funk, Slave, Prince, One Way, Loose Ends, all the groups that I love, because they recorded like that. Prince was a one-man band, but he still recorded from the beginning to the end, all the way through, and just layered tracks. That's basically what I'm doing today in 2009.
It's people like you, Dame, that are keeping the groove and the funk alive, and really, you know, being adventurous, but keeping the dig. It's not really a paradox. You know, you're keeping the diggers going.
Right.
You're keeping the old stuff going, but regenerating, rebirthing it. So, thank you, man.
Much love, AJJ and Groovement. Much love, UK, and you know, just keep supporting what we do with Stone's Throw and beyond, because I have some other projects coming out on other labels, which you'll find out about soon. So, you know, check for Wavelength. That's a 45 coming out, a group called Wavelength. I won't go into any more details. I'll just leave it a mystery. Also, you can look out for Master Blaster, which is a collaboration with me, my friend J1, and my friend Computer J, who actually got down on the Burgundy City remix and did the bonus, not the remix, but he did bonus beats on Burgundy City. Computer J is, I'm in a group with him, and we're all doing something called Master Blaster and a host of other things. So look out, y'all. Much love, Groovement and Agent J.
Is that named after the old video game, Master Blaster?
Nah, we just kind of thought of actually, The Vision was like an old kind of like late 70s movie was called Laser Blast. It was like this B movie with this guy who like this UFO crash, and he found a contraption for his arm, and it got on his arm, and he turned it into a human laser, so his arm became a laser blaster. But it was really Laser Blast, but we call it Master Blaster because it was kind of, our sound is going to be futuristic but still funk, and it just blasting you with the funk, you know what I mean? So that's the concept.
All right, Dame Funk, keep it alive, nice one.
All right, stay up, y'all.
Let's take off, let's manage it. Stick it on.